that they love Jesus, that they're a Christian, that they're trying to serve Him, doing all these things. But yet, if you know them at all, you may know that they're just living in darkness. They're not trying to serve God. They're not trying to change their ways. They're not doing anything different. They're just having these words saying that they love God. Just like our earthly relationships, if you tell someone you love them, you tell someone you forgive them, that you're sorry, they know if you mean that, not because of your words, but because of your actions. Actions speak louder than words. But for whatever reason, when we put religion, when we put God into it, people think it's different. But it's not different. We cannot just say we love God. We must act and live it. 1 John 3:18 says, "Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." Let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. We're going to have 4 points tonight. Without works of love, we dishonor God. We disobey Him. We bring disgrace to His name, to what He's given us. All those sorts of things. But not only that, we distort His message, His gospel that He's given us. Without works of love, we're not honoring what message He's given us. Not only that, but we discourage the brethren. And also we destroy ourselves. So we're going to look at those 4 points. We're going to examine the first two together. Without works of love, we dishonor God. And we distort His message. We distort the gospel. So if you would, turn over to 1 John, if you're not already there. And we'll begin in chapter 1. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John 1, verse 5 says, "This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." God is light. In Him there is no darkness. If we're to be imitators of Him, we need to be in the light as well. We need to not have darkness. And it's not enough to just say that we love God, to say that we're walking in the light, to say that we love Him. We must actually be in the light. We must actually display that we love God, are trying to change our lives to imitate Him, to change our lives from our evil ways to the righteous ways that He has set for us. So opposite of the world today. They think you don't have to have works. You can just say whatever. That's all it is. But that's not the case. There's action involved. There's works involved. Otherwise, we are liars. We're not truly in the light. We're not fellowshipping with Jesus. We're not practicing the truth. We must be in the light, not in the darkness. Otherwise, we're distorting His message. Anything less is just a disgrace to God's message. Look at 1 John 2 now, verse 3. In the prior two verses, we see that we have an advocate through Jesus if we sin, and that He was the sacrifice for our sin. But look at verse 3. "By this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments." By this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. Notice that after it says we have come to know Him, it's a comma, it's not a period. We don't just get the claim that we know Him. We know Him and love Him if we keep His commandments. We can only love, can only know God if we keep His commandments. And again, that's just another word for action. Jesus will speak the same way. If you keep your place in 1 John, but turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." A very short, succinct commandment. That's the most difficult. If you love Jesus, if you love Him, you'll keep His commandments. The one who loves Him does His commandments, is always striving to be in the light, not being of this world. He's always striving to serve God, serve others. From that, we can see once again, there's effort, work involved. It's not just saying it. It's not just your tongue. It's work, not words. It's a way of life. Jesus' love, Jesus' obedience was seen not because He said He loved the Father, not because He said He loved us, but it's because He acted. Should it not be the same for us? Look at John 15:8. "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." The works, the fruit, they bring glory to the Father. It proves we are His disciples. It proves that we're different from the world. If we're just saying that we're in the light, that we love God, but we're acting like the world, we're not any different. We just may say a few more words than they do, or a few more nicer words than they do. But we're not acting different. We're not different from them. We just sang the song, "Send the Light." And of course, primarily, when you think of that song, you're thinking of evangelism, speaking, telling of God's Word. And that's the intent initially. But if you think about it, our love, our obedience to God, our service to others, speaks to others as well. It displays the Gospel. It's a testimony of our faith. It's a testimony of what God and the Gospel has done for us. The light that God gives us, that we should be living in, is in such deep contrast to the darkness, the evil of this world, that people will notice. The light will be obvious. It will be observed by them. So let's continue to have love, to overcome evil with good, as Romans 12:21 says. Let's display the light. Our purpose here is not for ourselves, but it's to give glory to God, to serve and love others, to share His message. So if you would, go back to 1 John at this time. 1 John 2, verse 3 and following. 1 John 2, verse 3. "By this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked." Once again, if we're saying that we love God, we're serving God and not keeping His commandments, we're liars, which is what chapter 1, verse 6 said. If we're doing that, we're misrepresenting God, His message, His gospel, what He's done for us. We're misrepresenting His love. If we're supposed to be imitating His love, and we're not doing anything, what are people going to think about God? Once again, our purpose is to serve God, to bring Him glory and honor. And of course, words do that, but words aren't enough. There must be action. There must be works. And look back at verse 6. It says, "The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked." Ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. It says ought to walk. It doesn't say ought to talk. Again, this is action. It's works. It's not just solely words that display the love. but it's by what we do. A few years ago, I was helping out at the church building where I was attending. We had a gospel meeting, and we had one of the work days. And me and a few other guys, we were in the basement changing some of the lights. Some of them were going bad or whatever. But anyway, we were changing a bunch of them, and we ran out. And so a guy went to go get a few more, and while he was doing that, we continued the work. We continued to move things, clean things, all that stuff. And as we were walking by in the basement hallway, there was one light in particular that kept flickering on and off, click, click, click. Not only was it annoying to the sight, but it was annoying to the ears as well. But anyway, it drove us nuts. We were irritated, we were annoyed, and we ended up having to take it out. It was better not to have light in that hallway than to have just a little light flickering on and off, on and off. If a little light like that irritated and annoyed me, how much more so is a flickering person who says they love God but aren't doing anything for Him? Maybe God says something like that. If you recall in Revelation chapter 3, to the church of Laodicea, God says that, I know your deeds. I know you're not hot or cold. In verse 16, He says, I know you're not hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm. Because of that, I will spit you out of my mouth. The lukewarm is just like the flickering light. We must walk in the light. We must not flicker, but we must be a true light. People should know that you're a Christian without you having to tell them. They should recognize that there's something different about you, that you're in the light. You shouldn't have to tell them. Let your love for God and your love for others be known by your works, not solely by your words. Without works of love, we discourage the brethren. Going further in chapter 2 of 1 John, we'll begin in verse 9. 1 John 2, verse 9. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness, does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Walking in the light includes loving the brethren, not hating them. But once again, as we've seen, we can't just simply say we love them. That's good, but we must act upon that. Some actions that we need to do would include continually praying for people, for their well-being, for their spiritual growth, their spiritual strength, actually forgiving them, not holding grudges, caring for them, helping them physically, encouraging them, bearing their burdens as we spoke about this morning. All these are actions. All these are works. You remember in verse 4 of Send the Light, let us not grow weary in our labor of love. Saying I love you isn't really that tiring. If you say it a bunch of times, it's really not that tiring. But if you're doing all these works, if you're doing all these things for people, bearing their burdens, continually praying for people, all these things, that's work. And you can grow weary from that, but that's why you need prayers and encouragement for yourself as well. Go over to chapter 3 now. Look at verse 10. 1 John 3, verse 10 says, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Verse 10 says that the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. They're obvious because of their actions, because of their love, what they do. It also means there's only two choices. You're either a child of God or a child of the devil. You're either loving or you're hating. There's no in between on those. Would you rather be associated with Cain or with Christ? You know, you may be thinking, I'm not actively abusing people. I'm not actively harming my brethren. I'm not hating them. I'm not maligning them, abusing them. I love them. But what are you doing for them? Think about the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, 25 and following. You have three individuals. You have the priest. He sees the man that's beat up, left for dead, robbed, all these things. He sees him, passes by on the other side. A Levite comes by, does the same thing. The Good Samaritan comes by. What's he do? He stops. He feels compassion. He comes to the man, helps him, bandages him, takes care of him, takes him to an inn, does all these things. Who is the one that was said to be loving, that showed mercy, that was the neighbor, that was compassionate? But when you think about it, the priests and the Levites aren't the culprits. They aren't the ones that beat up this man, that stole his stuff, that did all these things to this man. They just happen to be walking by. How are they not seen as loving? Well, you know why. Because they didn't act. Even though they didn't actively hate this person, they didn't actively love him either. And so they're not the neighbor. They're not the loving, compassionate one that they should have been, as the Good Samaritan was. The Good Samaritan displayed love because he acted. We cannot be neutral. We cannot be passive. You're either loving or you're hating. How can you say you love them if you're not doing anything for them? That's certainly not the attitude that Christ had, the mind that Christ had. You're not imitating him if you're not doing anything for them. You know, think about Paul in Philippians. He opens the letter saying, I'm constantly praying for you, thinking of you. I want you to abound in love, in strength, in all these things. Paul also sends Epaphroditus and wants to send Timothy to encourage them, to bring about joy, all these things. Do you remember where Paul is? Paul's in prison, and yet he's thinking about these people, sending some of the only people he has with them to these people. He's being selfless and sending these people to them to encourage them when he needs encouragement. He's in prison, but yet he's always thinking about the Philippians, about all the other people, about all the other Christians. He has the mind of Christ. He's displaying true love. He has actions and works. He doesn't just tell the Philippians that he loves them. They know it because of all that he's done for them. You see this attitude later in the letter. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Was that not what Paul did? Was that not what Jesus did? Should we not do the same? Continue growing. It's the ultimate standard of Jesus, as Paul was doing. 1 John 3, verse 16. 1 John 3, verse 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth. We will assure our hearts before him. Verse 16 says, we know love by this, and because he told us, right? Or he said, I love you. No, it says, we know love by this because he laid down his life for us. Jesus acted on our behalf. It's not that he just said it, but he acted. We're to do the same. In verse 17, Andy spoke about this morning, the test. How will you know you'll give your life for somebody? If you're willing to give up things here in this earth, here and now, possessions, things they need. If you're not willing to do that, you're not only not being loving, but you're being a murderer. Look at verse 15 prior to it. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You're spiritually murdering this brother. They're becoming discouraged because they're not seeing the love that you should have. And in some cases, you could very well be murdering them if it's things that they need. Go ahead and go over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 14. Now, of course, this passage is primarily known for being about faith and works. But faith and love are closely tied together. Just as faith needs works to prove the faith, to display the faith, as I've discussed, love does as well. So beginning in verse 14, I'll use love instead of faith, and we'll read a few verses there. James 2, verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has love, but he has no works, can that love save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Love cannot simply just be words, just like faith, but it must have works. The example it gives in verse 15 and 16 is just like the priest and the Levite. They saw somebody in need, but they don't do anything for them. So how can the love of God abide in somebody like that? Look at verse 19. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. Notice if you believe that God is one, you do well. But the demons also believe that as well. And they shudder. They have this emotional response. Andy talked about this morning how you feel love, you feel affection for somebody, you're doing well, but that's not all. You got to do more than that. The demons are still demons because even though they believe in God, believe in His power, they don't change. They don't act on that belief. They don't do anything. They're still demons, even though they shuddered, even though they recognized it. Are we not the same with our love? We feel that love. We need to act on that. Go ahead and go back to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Obviously, we must love, otherwise we do not truly know God. We don't love God. We're not born of God. Pick up in verse 9. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God loved and acted. Look at verse 10. It says that He loved us, and then He told us that, and we're good, right? No. Verse 10 says that He loved us and sent His Son to die for us as an atoning sacrifice for us. Verse 11, if we're trying to live for God, then we must love others because He loved us. Look at verse 19. We love because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. So we have this other test as well. We cannot love God if we do not love others. For how can we love God, who we can't see, who we have not seen, if we don't love the brothers that we can see? In John 15, 12, Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Just further emphasis that there's works and action involved in this love, not just words. Love is also important because brethren need it. They rely on others. They need encouragement. They need exhortation. They need love, a stirring up of one another. Turn a few pages to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We're not commanded to assemble. You may think, whoa, you stopped on that statement? But the whole statement is, we're not commanded to assemble, and that's it. We're not just coming to check off our name from an attendance sheet. No, we're supposed to come together to stir up one another, to encourage one another, to love each other. Verse 24 says, to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We're supposed to encourage one another, provoke one another to good deeds, motivate, encourage, for the day is drawing near. The command is to warm hearts, not seats. So let's truly love one another. Without works of love, we destroy ourselves. Turn over to John, once again, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. John chapter 15, and we'll look at a few verses here. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. So we see we must bear fruit. We must love, or we'll be cast off. Verse 5 and 6 adds, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. We can do nothing without God, without Jesus. If we're not bearing fruit, if we're not loving others, bearing their burdens, all those things, then we're cast into the fire. We're burned. It's not really the ideal condition that I'm looking for. Turn back to 1 John 2, verse 11, once again. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness, and walks in the darkness, does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Without love, this individual is lost. He's stumbling around through life, stumbling in the darkness. It's a very dangerous condition to walk in life that way. So once again, we must have works of love. We must follow the commands of God to truly say that we love him, that we love his people, that we love his word, that we love Jesus. Otherwise, if you're not doing that, you don't know God. You don't love God. You're not abiding with him. But you're a liar. Just remember Jesus' love. In Jesus' love, he honored God, obeyed God with all that he was given. He displayed that he truly loved others by sacrificing himself. Then he received life back. He received joy. Jesus did not just say they loved us. 1 John 3:16 once again says, "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us." He was not passive or neutral, but he was active. He didn't see us dead in sin. He didn't see us helpless, in need, and reach down and say, "Go, be warmed and be filled. Go, cleanse yourself." No. He reached down and said, "I love you. I will give my life for you so that you can have the hope of salvation." We can fool ourselves that we don't need works of love, but we will not fool God. Look at the last verse of the letter. 1 John 5:21. "Little children, guard yourselves from idols." Guard yourselves from idols. Do not allow yourself to be tempted or led away from the idea that you need works of love, that you need to follow the commandments of God to experience salvation. As we've seen through some of the passages we've looked through, there are others in this letter. There's a lot of liars in this world. Don't let them sway you away with a false Jesus, a false gospel, an idol. Remember how deep his love was for us. How is yours doing for God? How is yours doing for the brethren? Remember that we are on a journey, on a walk, to strive and become more like Christ each and every day. And that takes a lot of work. It's not just words. It takes actions. So do you truly love God? Go show it. Do you truly love the brothers? Go prove it. You walking in the light? Go do it. Don't just say it, but go do it. Do you want to dwell with God? Then display your desire to do so. Have love. Have obedience. Serve God and serve others. Don't just say it, but go do it. Let us not live with word. Let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. We're about to sing a song of encouragement about how deep God's love was for us. It's not about what God said, but it's about what he did. It's about what Jesus did. They didn't just say, "I love you." They showed it to us. If you're not a Christian, why not? God loves you. He wants you to dwell with him. If you're not a Christian, you're going to have an opportunity to do so at this time. Maybe you are a Christian and you haven't been loving God, serving him, loving the brethren like you should have been. You also have an opportunity to make that right, to change that, repent of that. Maybe you need some prayers of the congregation just to be encouraged or to help you through whatever it may be. Whatever spiritual need you have, please make that known as we stand and as we sing.